The lamps in Dumbledore's office were lit. The portraits of previous headmasters were snoring gently in their frames, and the pensieve was ready upon the desk once more. Dumbledore's hands lay on either side of it, the right one as blackened and burnt-looking as ever. It did not seem to have healed at all, and Harry wondered, for perhaps the 100th time, what had caused such a distinctive injury, but did not ask. Dumbledore had said that he would know eventually, and there was, in any case, another subject he wanted to discuss. But before Harry could say anything about Snape and Malfoy, Dumbledore spoke.
"I hear that you met the Minister of Magic over Christmas."
"Yes," said Harry. "He's not very happy with me."
"No," sighed Dumbledore. "He is not very happy with me either. We must try not to sink beneath our anguish, Harry, but battle on."
Harry grinned. "He wanted me to tell the wizarding community that the Minister is doing a wonderful job." Dumbledore smiled.
"It was Fudge's idea originally, you know. During his last days in office, when he was trying desperately to cling to his post, he sought a meeting with you, hoping that you would give him your support."
"After everything Fudge did last year?" said Harry angrily. "After Umbridge?"
"I told Cornelius there was no chance of it, but the idea did not die when he left office. Within hours of Scrimgeour's appointment, we met, and he demanded that I arrange a meeting with you."
"So that's why you argued," Harry blurted out. "It was in the Daily Prophet."
"The Prophet is bound to report the truth, occasionally," said Dumbledore. "If only accidentally. Yes, that was why we argued. Well, it appears that Rufus found a way to corner you at last."
"He accused me of being Dumbledore's man through and through."
"How very rude of him."
"I told him I was." Dumbledore opened his mouth to speak, and then closed it again. Behind Harry, Fawkes the Phoenix let out a low, soft, musical cry. To Harry's intense embarrassment, he suddenly realized that Dumbledore's bright blue eyes looked rather watery, and stared hastily at his own knees. When Dumbledore spoke, however, his voice was quite steady.
"I am very touched, Harry."
"Scrimgeour wanted to know where you go when you're not at Hogwarts," said Harry, still looking fixedly at his knees.
"Yes, he is very nosy about that," said Dumbledore, now sounding cheerful,
and Harry thought it safe to look up again.
"He has even attempted to have me followed. Amusing, really. He set Dawlish to tail me. It wasn't kind. I have already been forced to jinx Dawlish once. I did it again with the greatest regret."
"So they still don't know where you go?" asked Harry, hoping for more information on this intriguing subject, but Dumbledore merely smiled over the top of his half-moon spectacles.
"No, they don't, and the time is not quite right for you to know either. Now, I suggest we press on, unless there's anything else."
"There is, actually, sir," said Harry. "It's about Malfoy and Snape."
"Professor Snape, Harry."
"Yes, sir. I overheard them during Professor Slughorn's party. Well, I followed them, actually." Dumbledore listened to Harry's story with an impassive face. When Harry had finished, he did not speak for a few moments, then said,
"Thank you for telling me this, Harry. But I suggest that you put it out of your mind. I do not think that it is of great importance."
"Not of great importance?" repeated Harry incredulously.
"Professor, did you understand?" "Yes, Harry, blessed as I am with extraordinary brain power, I understood everything you told me," said Dumbledore a little sharply. "I think you might even consider the possibility that I understood more than you did. Again, I am glad that you have confided in me, but let me reassure you that you have not told me anything that causes me disquiet."